It's Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich. Great to have you listening today. It was big news when scientists announced they'd figured out a way to reprogram adult skin cells to behave similarly to embryonic stem cells. Not only did the new technique hold promise for treating disease, but it sidestepped the ethical questions some have had about using stem cells from human fetuses. Some years later, cures for diseases are still some distance away, but advances are still being made, including here in Wisconsin. One of the area's leading researchers will use a multi-million-dollar federal grant to continue work in converting skin cells to liver cells. Dr. Stephen Duncan is director of the Program in Regenerative Medicine and Stem Cell Biology at the Medical College of Wisconsin and lead researcher on the NIH grant. He's with us in the studio. Welcome to the program.
Pleasure to be back.
So what do we already know about the ability to convert skin cells into other cells, and specifically, I guess, liver cells?
So there's two ways that have become popular to do this in the scientific field. The first way was an extension of work that was initially done by Shinya Yamanaka, who won the Nobel Prize, for taking a skin cell and using molecular biology to turn it into the equivalent of an embryonic stem cell. So an embryonic stem cell has the capacity to form up to the 200 cell types that make up the body. And so it has this remarkable capacity to basically form all the cells that you could possibly potentially use to cure diseases or as a source of spare parts as you start to get old and your bits start to run out. More recently, there's been a second way of doing it where instead of going to stem cells and then turning the stem cells into liver cells or pancreatic cells or whatever, you can actually take a skin cell and try to turn it directly into a liver cell or a pancreatic cell.
You're cutting out the middleman, as it were.
You cut out the middleman. It's more experimental, and there's still a bit of controversy over how effective it is. But these are the two ways these days that we mainly focus on trying to make these new cells.
So the first version is inducing pluripotency, and the second version is reprogramming? Is that the...
Well, the second version we usually refer to as direct conversion or transdifferentiation, it's called in the field, where you take one cell type and directly make another cell type.
Well, and so what are the key questions that you are now setting out to answer as you look at specific work involving the liver?
So my background is in an academic laboratory setting. And so we're interested in two main issues. And one is, how does a liver cell form basically during embryogenesis? What are the molecular processes that turn a stem cell into an adult cell type? And so we spend a lot of time trying to understand the molecular pathways that do that. And that's important because a lot of these pathways go wrong during normal development, and so you end up with a child that might have a congenital abnormality in the formation of the liver. But the second big thing that we've really started to spend a lot of time on is trying to model metabolic liver diseases. So these are diseases that, as individual types of disease, are often rare, but as a collective group are actually quite common. And so things that we're interested in are things like familial hypercholesterolemia, which is an inherited mutation that gives children excessively high cholesterol levels that results in heart disease. So we're trying to model these diseases in a culture dish so that we can have a disease in a dish. Once we've got that, we can start to understand the mechanism of the disease. And then more recently, also start to use that to screen for pharmaceuticals and drugs that could be used to reverse the disease in the child that originally has the problem.
Well, and I was wondering, especially as we talk about liver disease, is it especially well suited to this kind of work versus any other kinds of disease?
So the liver does a lot. It's really the metabolic powerhouse that controls everything from toxicity. So if you take a drug or you drink too much single malts, which can happen, I've heard. You need some way of detoxifying that stuff that comes in. So your liver plays a big part in doing that. And the other things it does, it will secrete many proteins that are involved in everything from clotting to controlling cholesterol or glucose levels. So the liver plays a big part in the diseases that we're commonly thinking of, like diabetes and controlling carbohydrate levels. And so because of that, we see a lot of children and adults coming through the clinics with diseases that are associated with liver dysfunction. And so because we've worked out ways in my laboratory of how to turn an embryonic stem cell or an iPS cell into a liver cell, it really allows us to address quite a lot of problems that are associated with people that come into the clinics.
And are these problems that are potentially reversible?
So there's two ways that we could potentially reverse them. The first way is that if somebody has a defect in their liver cell, you could imagine taking stem cells from that person or skin cells, turning them into stem cells, and using molecular biology techniques, reversing the genetic disorder so that you now have fixed stem cells. You could then take the fixed stem cells and make liver cells, a source of good liver cells that you could put back into the person. That's complicated and it's still very experimental, although there are a number of clinical trials that are trying to use that type of approach to treat a variety of diseases. But the other way to do it is to actually screen for drugs that we don't know, for example, could help the disease, identify them, and then they're immediately available for use on the patients.
And potentially also the development of drugs could be tailored knowing what we know.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point. So just now, the pharmaceutical industry, for example, will focus on drugs that are sort of blockbuster drugs that will have a high number of patients that will want to use these drugs so that they can recoup the costs of research and development. But from an academic lab, we're not so much interested in making large amounts of money, although it would be nice.
It wouldn't hurt, right?
we are more focused on trying to find cures for these very rare diseases that might affect a few hundred.
Is there orphan
kids.
Diseases? Is that the
That's
term?
What they're called, orphan diseases, exactly. And so from an academic standpoint, we can afford to do that. And we've set up tools in the lab where a single graduate student can take on a project to find a drug that could be used to treat an orphan disease, for example. So I think it's a way that an academic lab can really contribute directly to helping treat patients.
What are the limitations of this work likely to be?
There are a number of limitations. So if we think about trying to use cells to replace diseased tissue, although we can make these cells, the cells that we make from the stem cells are very, very similar to the cells you would find in your liver, but they're not identical. And so these differences that you see, although they're quite subtle when you're looking at them in the laboratory setting, if you're going to put these cells back into somebody, you don't want to have any problem that could be exacerbated by putting in cells that aren't perfect. The other worry that you have is that stem cells themselves have a tendency to form tumors, at least in a laboratory setting. And so you don't want to have any chance of putting in a cell type that would result in a tumor. So that's one of the challenges that the field faces.
Well, and so you were talking about direct conversion, and then you were talking about the technique that essentially turns these adult skin cells back into something that is just like an embryonic stem cell. A lot has been made about these techniques and their ability to sidestep what some see as the ethical issues that are involved in embryonic stem cell research, in harvesting embryonic stem cells. At the same time, are there aspects to what you do that at this point could still be better suited to work with embryonic stem cells?
So the cells that you make from skin cells aren't identical to embryonic stem cells. They're very similar. So I would say that most of what we do, we can use these so-called induced pluripotent stem cells to work with. However, in saying that, what we now know through studies by many laboratories is that as you grow these cells in the culture dish, they tend to pick up mutations. And so they do have genetic alterations that are associated with them that could be problematic if you're trying to put the cells back into people. Now, in saying that, embryonic stem cells also have their own problems. The disadvantage with embryonic stem cells is that they're from a unique individual, and so they're not genetically matched to the patient that you're trying to put the cells back into. So there's pros and cons, and really you've got to pick the cell type that you want for the ultimate purpose. And both of these things really have advantages and disadvantages.
We talked, and I was trying to figure out, it was either 6 or 7 years ago, about the work that you were doing at that point. How would you categorize how far things have come? You know, we hear about the exponential growth in this kind of work. You know, where would you say we have come in, say, the last 5 years?
So I think the last time I was in and we talked, Mitch, I think I had said maybe in 5 years' time we'll start to see these cells be used in the clinics. So since then, we've gone from a time where there were no clinical trials to within the US, we have about 4,500 current clinical trials going on. So clinical trials take a long time to complete, obviously. They have to be tested for safety and efficacy. But the fact that we're there where there's many laboratories putting cells into people for a wide variety of diseases, I think is a big step forward. Now, a lot of these things won't work, but a subset of the things will work and are particularly exciting. At the time, I think I had mentioned the possibility of using these cells to screen for small molecules. Well, now we're at the point where we've actually used these approaches to find drugs that can be used to treat children. And so I think within 5 years, it's actually been quite remarkable the progress we've made. I think we've also noticed that over that 5 years, we've started to recognize the limitations of the approach. So when you start off with something, it's full of potential and everybody's excited and enthusiastic. And as you start to work with the cells or any scientific endeavor, you start to see the limitations. And so we have a better idea of what the cells are more likely to be used for versus being too complicated to be used for.
The reality check has kind of happened in the last 5 years.
Reality check's a good way of putting it.
Well, and I feel like I may have asked you this 5 or 6 years ago, and that is, you know, you were talking about everything that the liver is capable of and all the various things that when it goes wrong could have an impact down the line. This work isn't necessarily licensed to abuse your liver and say, well, you know, do what you want now because someday we'll be able to reverse it.
It's not licensed to do that. But
it's perhaps good news in case you have done it.
Well, that's the problem, right?
Well, Stephen Duncan, thank you so much for that reality check, and maybe we'll have you back in less than 5 years.
Pleasure to be back.
Dr. Stephen Duncan is director of the Regenerative Medicine and Stem Cell Biology Program at the Medical College of Wisconsin. He and his team received a multi-million-dollar federal grant over the next 5 years to continue work in converting skin cells into liver cells. A break now, and then what the 100th anniversary of the passenger pigeon's extinction means for our interaction with nature in this era. This is Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio.